Over the last 2 weeks, Mark has shared with us how important it is for us to be rooted in good soil. Our life of worship, particularly corporate worship, our prayer life, individually, in small groups and all together, and the Bible, our knowledge and understanding of it, and our ability to put it into practice. Healthy growth depends on the quality of the soil. And if our roots are deep and strong, we will grow. Mark shared some key verses last week which highlight this. But whereas he focused on the rooted part, we now want to look at what comes next, the healthy growth. In Isaiah 27, we read, "In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit." In Ephesians, "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." And in Colossians, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." God wants us to bud and blossom, to grow strong in the truth and to grow to maturity, to grow up in our faith. In Ephesians 4, using the analogy of the body, Paul writes this: "God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Isn't that a wonderful picture? Aren't those wonderful words, to be healthy and growing and full of love? Before we look at how we believe God is calling us here at The Free to support healthy growth in the church and in the community, let's look at how Jesus paid attention to people's well-being. Central to this is what today we might call Jesus' mission statement. He says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." He was quoting some verses from Isaiah 61 and said that they had come true in that moment. And Jesus picks this theme up again during the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." So many of Jesus' encounters with people brought well-being. In fact, if I can give you a sneak preview of our summer sermon series, which starts in a couple of weeks, we'll be highlighting encounters with God's grace throughout the Bible. It will remind us that we're loved just as we are, and that we can rest in the grace and the identity that God gives. We can trust God to transform us instead of striving for some ideal self. As part of this series, we'll be looking at how Jesus interacts both with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4 and with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in Luke 19. Both of these are excellent examples of how Jesus demonstrates his concern for people's well-being and addresses their deepest needs simply by coming alongside them and spending time with them. There are countless examples of this, but today we're going to look briefly at three examples of how Jesus' encounters with people bring well-being into their lives. Firstly, the demon-possessed man who lived in the region of the Gerasenes, and we read about this in Luke 8. We read that this man was homeless, he was lonely, and he was socially excluded. For For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. He had been driven by the demon into solitary places. But as a result of meeting Jesus and being set free by him, we read that he was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was no longer isolated. He was fully clothed and perfectly sane. He was no longer socially excluded. And Jesus tells him to return home and tell how much God has done for him. He was no longer homeless, and he had a newfound purpose in life. Here, Jesus demonstrates concern for this man's spiritual well-being, which then had an impact on all other areas of his life, physical, emotional, and social. Secondly, let's consider the rich young ruler who we read about in Mark chapter 10. Jesus was concerned for this man's well-being. Verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. In his case, it wasn't physical well-being that he lacked. We're told that he was very wealthy. It wasn't primarily spiritual well-being. We're told that he had kept all of the commandments since he was a boy. His problem was emotional well-being. One thing you lack, Jesus said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away, sad. Shortly before this encounter, Jesus had told his disciples, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he knew that what this young man needed was to depend not on his physical wealth or his spiritual pedigree, but to be passionate only for God. Jesus wanted this man to have treasure in heaven, not on earth. And thirdly, the story of Jesus' mother Mary and his disciple John in John chapter 19. This is one of my all-time favourite moments in the Bible. Jesus has been crucified. He's hanging on the cross. He's near death. And then we read, Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. In this extremely powerful moment, Jesus demonstrated how much he cared about the well-being of his mother. Primarily her physical well-being, that she would have a home and someone to provide for her, but also the emotional well-being of being part of a new family. I don't know if you're able to identify with any of these three encounters in particular, and the way that Jesus individually, personally, addresses the need for renewed well-being with each one. When I spoke about diversity in the church a few weeks ago and how we all need each other, I was reminded that God loves the weak and that we are all weak. To be human is to be fragile and broken. And that's precisely why God designed us to be part of a body. When we're weak, those around us take care of us, protect us, care for us. And at other times in our life, it will be us doing the same for them. In her book, Slow Down, Show Up and Pray, Ruth Rice writes this. It's not a case of the church asking whether they should be involved in the arena of emotional and mental health. We are already involved because we are human and we are broken. This is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount about those who are poor in spirit, humble, grieving. Ruth Rice continues, Jesus declared blessing over the broken, the mourning, the meek and the persecuted. This word blessed is more than just wishing them a bit of happiness. It's the Greek word makarios, the highest form of well-being known to humanity. Here, shockingly, Jesus is declaring that well-being or blessing over the least in society. The kingdom is near. Jesus opens up the possibility of peace, shalom, well-being to all. And it isn't only available to those who get their act together. It's for us all, and it's expressed in community. Central to our vision of a church which is rooted, growing, and sowing is the story that Jesus told in Mark 4 about the kingdom of God. It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Like Jesus, the church is committed to people's growth and to their well-being, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. We believe that our aim as a community of God's children is to provide shade for those who need it in our community, to pay attention to our own well-being and to that of those around us. So first of all, paying attention to our own well-being. Last Sunday evening, when Patrick Regan from Kintsugi Hope spoke to us, he talked about the importance of resilience, of supporting good habits of well-being, so that when the storms of life hit, we are prepared. If you weren't here or weren't able to watch it, I'd recommend that you do listen to what he had to say. You can find it on our YouTube channel. One of the ways we can do this is to ensure our roots go down deeply into worship, prayer, and scripture. And last week, Mark talked about my next step and the opportunities for growth and discipleship which we seek to provide here at The Free. One key way to support our own spiritual resilience is through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course. To quote from this document, which hopefully you've all now seen a copy of, an encouraging aspect of our survey was the strong link between mental, emotional well-being and spiritual disciplines. Those who engage regularly in spiritual disciplines reported a higher sense of well-being. Over the past 2 years, nearly 50 people from our church have completed the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course, which draws deeply on biblical spiritual disciplines, encouraging each person to develop a healthy rhythm of prayer, Sabbath, and scripture, as well as addressing key emotional areas of our lives. Their aim is to integrate emotional health with contemplative spirituality. And we're going to be running this 8-week Bible study course again in the autumn, probably on a Monday evening. So do look out for more details and let us know if you're interested in joining us. Secondly, supporting well-being in our community by creating a hub of hope. Again, to quote from this document, our recent church survey showed that many of us have seen a decline in our mental and emotional health. The COVID-19 pandemic has taken its toll. All ages reported feeling less optimistic and purposeful, and at the same time said that their levels of anxiety, worry, and depression have increased. Similar statistics to these are now being reported in all communities around the country. We believe that there is hope, and that our church has an important role to play in helping everyone recover their spiritual, emotional and mental health through an encounter with the shalom peace of God. God is calling us to be a hub of hope for our community, bringing shade and renewing well-being for all. Through the sacrificial giving of those who have come before us, God has provided us here at The Free with a wonderful resource in terms of our church buildings. And in particular, the Oasis Cafe, which is currently open 4 mornings a week. Oasis already provides a welcome space where people feel valued, loved, and accepted. We plan to build on this by creating a hub of hope with groups and activities based in the cafe space. You may or may not be aware of some groups which already provide hope and support well-being in our community. There's the Crochet Group, which meets every Wednesday morning from 10 till 12. You can just come along whenever you like. There's the Breast Cancer Support Group, which meets on the first Thursday of every month. Again, just come whenever you like. Christians Against Poverty. We regularly run a 4-week money advice course. And we'd love you to join us the next time that that runs. We also regularly run kaleidoscope relaxation sessions, recognising the strong link between physical relaxation and mental well-being. In addition to these existing groups, we're planning to start some new ones, reflecting our values of breaking new ground and giving generously. We're hoping to run an Alcoholics Anonymous group on a Monday evening, again on a drop-in basis. Together with Home Instead, a local senior care provider, we're planning to set up a dementia cafe. This will be on a Tuesday afternoon every month for those living with dementia and their carers. If anyone is interested in helping out with this particular project, please do let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And next year, we're hoping to be running a Parenting for Faith course, also based in Oasis. We're going to be partnering with Kintsugi Hope, who came to speak to us last Sunday. Their vision is of a world where mental and emotional health is understood and accepted, with safe and supportive communities for everyone to grow and flourish. Kintsugi Hope Wellbeing Groups work in communities through the local church with an attitude of humility, not to judge, fix, or rescue, but to come alongside and love one another. As we've heard, Steve Lane, along with Sarah Haynes, have trained as facilitators for a wellbeing group, and they're holding a taster session next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, with a view to running the full 12-week course in the autumn. This course is suitable for anyone, of any faith or none. Do contact the office if you are interested, either in the taster session and then later on in the course itself. And we're also going to be partnering with Renew Wellbeing, who help churches open quiet, shared spaces where it's okay not to be okay. Their guiding principles are be present, be prayerful, and be in partnership with local mental health services. A group of us have completed the Renew Wellbeing training, and on a Wednesday afternoon from October, we'll be opening Oasis for people to come and share their hobbies over a cup of tea or coffee on a drop-in basis. The lounge will become a prayer space, and each session will begin and end with a time of simple prayer that everyone will be invited to join in with. The idea is to pray alongside people rather than praying for them. If you're interested in joining the team, please do speak to me or to Jane Thorrington Hassell. When Ruth Rice, the founder of Renew Wellbeing, spoke to us back in January, she summarised her invitation to attend to our well-being in three simple steps, which is also the title of her book. Slow down, show up, and pray. She suggests that putting good habits in place not only helps improve our well-being, but also acts preventatively to stop us falling into bad habits. So once we get going, we would invite you to come along to the Renew Wellbeing space, to take time to slow down, to practice the rhythms of prayer, and just be, without having to fix anyone or be fixed by anyone. All of these groups aim to renew well-being. There may be one or two which appeal to you in particular, either to come along to or to help out with. Or perhaps as you've been listening, someone has popped into your mind who you could invite to come along. All of these opportunities enable us to invite people to come and find a welcome and appropriate support. So to return to where we started today, healthy growth through renewing well-being. Our aim and God's aim for us, as we saw in Ephesians 4, is that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Let's finish with some verses from 1 Corinthians, which remind us that it's God who makes us grow. Paul says, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your desire is for us to be a body of people who are healthy, who are growing, and who are full of love. And we pray now, by the power of your Spirit, that you would fill us afresh as your church, as your people, so that we would understand better what this means for us. Please, Lord, would you give us hearts which are open to you and ready to receive what you have for us. And we praise you because you are the one who does it all. You are the one who makes us grow. You are the one who is building your church and building your kingdom and bringing that well-being to us and to our communities. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week is the final part of this wonderful picture that we've been looking at the last few weeks. And the theme for next week is sown by the Spirit, being the church wherever we are. And we look forward to seeing you again for that final talk in the series.